Hello and welcome to another English episode of the SEO Presso podcast. My name is Björn Darko and today I'm speaking to Petra Kisch-Herzek about embarking on a career in SEO and what it needs to progress on it. And she's a perfect role model when it comes to embarking on a career in SEO and make nice progress on it. Petra is an independent solution consultant. She worked as an SEO for TUI, also as a solutions consultant for Bodify and Yext, as well as an in-house SEO for Jack and Wills. And she made her career starting from the hospitality sector into SEO. She spoke at MOSCON. She spoke at Searchlove, at Brighton SEO. She's a yoga teacher and a neuroscience student, currently studying a master at the King's College in London. And I'm super happy that she's on the show today. Just met her last week on the Bodify Connect event in London. I'm recording live from Portugal. You're sitting in Budapest in the house of your parents. Welcome, Petra. Nice that you're on the show.
Thank you so much, Björn. Yeah, great to be here. And I'm glad we can finally record this.
Yes. So I said it before, like you embarked from a hospitality, you know, sector, made a career into SEO, also becoming an international speaker and stuff. Was there like the one person or the one moment, the one event, the one story, the one emotion, the one feeling that inspired you to pursue a career in SEO?
Oh, it's very, very difficult to nail it down to one thing. I feel like I'm kind of always in this moment of transition. So I can definitely talk to the transition because I think, as you already mentioned, like I've started from a very different industry, from hospitality. I was actually organizing conferences back in Hungary before moving to England. So I was organizing business conferences, and because it was a very small publishing company, it was actually a job where I wasn't just looking after the conferences, but I was also looking after the website, all of the marketing. So sending out emails, socials, obviously the SEO. So I've kind of done everything, even though I didn't have as much of a concept of like what SEO is at the time, where I wouldn't necessarily know that separately. But I just realized that that was the part that I really enjoyed. Plus, whenever I was at the conferences, which as an organizer, I found very stressful. So I really, really appreciate all the work that organizers put into conferences. I always felt that I would rather be on the stage speaking. So when I moved to England, and as I started to learn English, I really wanted to go to do my master's in England. I wanted to do it in digital marketing because kind of that felt like it summed up everything I liked about my previous roles. And also it felt like an industry where I could also do public speaking. So that was already my goal. And then, when I went into digital marketing, as I was finishing my, at university, I was looking for roles and I found this very small company, saying it was an owner and two other guys making websites for clients. And they were looking for a business development representative, which at the time I didn't know that was a sales role. But I just applied because it was a web design company. And basically, I managed to convince them that instead of me cold calling people, which I really didn't want to do, I should probably focus more on the marketing strategy. So I got hired as a marketing manager, started to take them to conferences, do networking, again, looked after like, you know, like managing the listings of the actual company and all of that. And I think there I had this moment where I realized that whatever I do within digital marketing, let that be social or an event, everything is connected to SEO. Like everything has an SEO benefit. And during that time, I just realized that I don't want to do any of the other bits because if I just do this one thing, then I will have to be connected to everything. Then I can utilize all the skills I learned from digital marketing and I will have to engage with all of those teams. So as soon as I finished my degree, I was very particularly looking for SEO roles out there. And that's really how I got into it. I really like that connectedness to sort of the whole company and all of those different teams.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about Jack and Wills because I don't know the brand. Maybe you can elaborate a bit on it. But TUI itself is already a really huge brand, right? Where you worked as an SEO manager. So you already kind of took you know, a lot of responsibility, I would say, because everybody that knows SEO knows actually the dependencies, as you just said, like everything is somewhat connected to SEO. So, and for a huge brand like TUI, it is actually very critical. So how did you feel about like one of the first jobs, like working for such a big brand? How did you prepare for it, and what do you think it needed from you, from a kind of mindset and also kind of, you know, approach to do SEO for such a big brand?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to clarify as well, Jack Wolfskin is a popular fashion brand in the UK. And so they are both Jack Wolfskin and TUI. They are e-commerce, they are retail. Obviously, TUI is much bigger scale, but Jack Wolfskin, especially within the UK, they've still, you know, they had 100 plus stores as well and a big e-commerce website. So it was very similar in the sense that it was still enterprise SEO, but I guess TUI, you know, had much bigger teams and just a much bigger company. And TUI was my first role. So I started there as an SEO executive. And I didn't even realize at the time, like, how lucky I was to join such an incredible team. And as soon as I joined, we went through a rebrand, a HTTP to HTTPS migration. I took care of the local SEO project immediately because of the rebrand. We had to sort of, you know, sort all the namings out and just in general, our business listings and everything. So I was involved in so many different projects and then transitioned into content and work with the brand and PR team. So I got exposed to so many opportunities that literally within a year of being an SEO exec there, I got offered the SEO manager role at Jack Wolfskin, which was, you know, another e-commerce retail. And I was able to manage the channel by myself and just grow into that manager role. I would say super quickly. It can usually take, you know, a lot more years to someone to from an exec role to go into a manager one. So it's really interesting because I think, of course, I say, you know, I was lucky to have that opportunity. And sometimes when I was speaking to people before, they ask, you know, how do I get a job at such a big company first? Like, how do you make sure? Like I can obviously talk to the small bits that the fact that I did local SEO in a sense at that previous company, the web design company where I was managing the listings for that one business, did contribute to this because obviously during the interviews I was asked like what sort of things I was doing, and my manager there who hired me really liked the fact that I sort of took initiative and looked after local SEO because he had that project that he wanted to pass on someone who's coming in. Now, managing listings for that one business and managing it for, you know, 400 or 500 plus retail stores is a very different scale. But that was something he felt that I had potential in because of that initiative. And I also have to add that it's a really funny story, I would say, how I actually got that job. And I'm pretty sure if anyone asked my manager, he would agree that that was a big, big part why I got the job. So I was still very new to SEO and I didn't fully sort of understand the difference between SEO and PPC and like how, you know, how much they are differentiated within a business. So when I went into my interview, I basically showed them that I found a bunch of ads that rank for things like cruise disasters and like cruise fraud and things like that. Because I just found that super interesting. I was doing my research, the tasks they've given me and all of that. But I just found that like to be so interesting that they would be spending money on like potentially someone clicking on that I thought I had to bring that in there. And luckily for me, the hiring manager at the time, SEO and PPC teams didn't get along very well. And my manager wasn't a big fan of the PPC team and they had this huge debate. So when I went in there, I think I just immediately won him over with giving him something that he can go take back to the PPC team and literally tell them about like, look what this, you know, this literally like person who has never had an SEO role before just found and like came in here and like, it was, again, that was like 6-7 years ago now. So it was a while ago. But I think the point of that story is that it's so personal, like how you can get opportunities like that, like how you can build those connections and how you can find something that will really relate to that person. And they will feel like, you know, not only you will be able to do the job, but that you will be able to work within that team, work with them, show some sort of initiative that they are looking for. So there isn't really one recipe on how are you getting this role. But what I've done there is, because I did consider, like, should I be showing this? Should I not be showing this? But I thought, well, this is authentic to me. I find this really interesting. I would want to see it. Therefore, I'm going to show it because, you know, I might as well just sort of show who I am. And if they like that and they hire me, that's probably a good thing. If they don't, then it's probably not the right role for me. And it worked out.
Yeah, it is essentially like there are some ingredients in the recipe, which is, you know, not being scared, not being afraid, you know, not being shy to show things that you find interesting. And as you said, just be you, right? Come to an interview and you know, do your research. For sure, you need to do your research. And then it's not about them asking you questions and you have to fit into the box, but it's also you bring your personality and your research and your way of thinking into it. And I find like the best interview views is always where you ask them so many questions based on what you found before that it's actually vice versa, right? You interviewing them instead of them interviewing you. I think if you manage this, then it's almost a recipe for success for a job, from my perspective. But do you like? I mean, now you're longer in the game, so to speak, right? If someone is there that wants to make up a career in SEO and wants to learn, you know, the ropes and stuff like that from the beginning, is there anything that you can say from, okay, you have to look at, you know, a specific setup within the company that makes, you know, that makes you a good greenfield to learn, and where you know that you have a lot of challenges, where you know that you learn on the daily job, because, you know, there's so many things around, like, does it need to be a big brand? Does it need to be in product? Does it need to be in performance marketing thing? Are there any things that you say people should, you know, ask for a specific setup or research a specific setup in the company?
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting question. And I think my answer is basically, I think whenever we talk about careers and jobs, we have to remember that it's really a people thing. Like, you can, of course, you know, want to have a very specific role. Let's say you're like, I want to be a technical SEO. So you do some technical SEO courses. And, you know, there is by now, there is so much out there as well. Like, when I started out, there wasn't as much resource out there. Right now, it's almost overwhelming. There are brilliant courses and all of that, and free learning resources that people can use as well. So let's say, you know, you started to embark on that journey, you started to learn technical SEO, and you're looking for technical SEO roles. And then you're looking for a specific salary, maybe, or a specific company that aligns with your values. At the end of the day, it will come down to people, because you don't want to start at a job where you have a manager who you have a personality clash with, or who doesn't support you, or a company that doesn't support your further learning, or if you want to speak at conferences. You don't want to work for a company that doesn't give you the time and the resources to be able to do that. So the first step, I think, is always to really define not just what you want to do, but why you want to do it. So let's say I want to do technical SEO role at this company. Okay, why? What do you think that company will really give you? Because those will be the questions that you will need to ask on the interview to make sure that you're getting what you need. And let that be, you know, that you need a training and development budget that that you can use to learn coding, for example, or that the company provides mentorship or coaching that you can use to then move into a leadership role later on. Like, many people want to become heads of SEOs or directors or leading a team. You want to ask those questions. Is this company going to grow? Because getting headcount is not that easy, not at every company. If you're joining a fast, you know, fast growing company already, could that be an agency, a startup? Then you immediately have much more opportunity that, you know, that team will grow and you will have the option there to move into that leadership role. Is the company going to support that as well in terms of training and development, or providing a coaching service or something that you can use. So ask those questions why. And that's why I always say that probably one of the most crucial skills that anyone needs, and that's probably not even just SEO, but it's really emotional intelligence. And within that, this self-awareness of understanding what drives you, what motivates you, how do you find inspiration, how does your brain work in terms of, you know, how do you like the things that you want to do, why do you want to do them, and how do you go about achieving them as well. And figuring out some of those things will really help, not just with the interview process, but to continue that self-development as you grow in your career.
Yeah. Well, one of my managers, when I have kind of a same career embarking than you, right? So I studied leisure science, international leisure science in Bremen, in Germany. And I actually wanted to work as an event manager within city marketing. That's how I specialize, right? And I moved to London to work for the Olympics, but it didn't work out. So I landed in SEO. So in a nutshell, right? And so I did an internship at the Hamburg Convention Bureau back then, organizing also kind of, you know, conferences and big fairs and so. And my manager said, Björn, whatever you do, always work for the big brands, right? And I didn't take it serious in the beginning, but then I understood what he means. So what he means is that, you know, if you progress on a career and people, you know, you want to work for Adidas or you want to work for, I don't know, TUI, you want to work for whatever, right? They're looking at your CV and they always see the big brands, and they think because it's a big brand, they need to be successful. And because they are successful, they have a lot of budget, you have a lot of challenge, and that's why you learn a lot, right? It turned out that it's not always true. What is true is that there's a lot of budget, and what is true, there's, you know, a lot of people working in teams and stuff, but you still have to have kind of these proactive killer instinct, I would say, so that you convince people to get the budget and get the resource to do stuff, right? So you still have to be convincing in, you know, forecasting, convincing, and also bold in your hypothesis. Okay, if we now, you know, get this money, if we now get this resources, we can do X, Y, Z and stuff. That's how big companies work, right? But But what is really true is, like, as soon as you move over to the next job, they say, "Oh, you worked at TUI. Oh, that's nice. That's interesting." So there's a bit of truth in there. But you said it in your last answer. It was in between the lines. Many professionals aspire to become an SEO head or also a director, right, in big companies. And from my perspective, I mean, being in the same position, it needs to have a specific character and specific skill set, right? So what steps from your perspective should they take to climb the career ladder in SEO, from being a manager, but knowing, you know, in 5 years' time, I want to be a head of or a director? So what kind of a plan do they have to make for themselves?
So I think I have a shorter answer to this, and then I have a more detailed, longer answer. But I think the shorter one is kind of what I've already mentioned slightly: joining a company that's sort of fast growing, where they are adding headcount, you're just much more likely to get there faster, basically. Because if you join a well-established team where, you know, the head of SEO has been there for many years, and you know, a bigger brand where they don't necessarily add headcount as quickly, then you can learn a lot, but you can probably only get to the next stage if you change companies. And if you change companies, then they will ask, have you managed anyone before? Do you have that people management experience? So it's much easier to progress within the company where they train you in terms of leadership and they hire those people under you, so you can actually get that experience and get that role where you already, you know, have the people management experience. And you could have that as a senior SEO exec, as an SEO manager, you could start, you know, getting some of that experience in before you're head of SEO, for sure. But it's just going to be easier if the company already has plans to hire more people anyway. The other thing is that I think we see this a lot more often from people to say, like, oh, I want to be a head of SEO. And when you ask them why, it's kind of just like, well, you know, wanting to earn more money, like wanting to climb the career ladder. And it kind of just seems like the the sort of the straight career progression, like I'm exec, manager, head of SEO. So if that's the only reason, then I would definitely say it's worth sort of looking into, is this really what you want? Because people management is a very different thing from being an SEO specialist, and you could certainly grow as an individual contributor. I've actually gone down more that path in the end. So I do things like mentoring on the side, and I still really enjoy engaging with teams. But actually, I found that the specialist role was more for me than managing people, for example. So I think it's really important to see if that's what you want to do, because once you become a head of SEO, you actually spend a lot less time executing, you know, the actual day-to-day SEO. Looking, you will have hopefully, you know, a very capable team of SEOs who are very skilled technically, who are very skilled in content, in digital PR, whatever that needs to be, who you can trust, and you definitely don't want to micromanage. So you want to let them make those decisions. And you actually are looking after the well-being of those people, the progression of those people, the strategy. So another thing here is probably that strategic thinking, which again, I often hear from people that maybe they are being told that they are not thinking strategically enough. So it's very different. It's a very different mindset. I wouldn't just say skills, because I think the skills are needed for everyone. Things like critical thinking, empathy, communication skills, emotional intelligence. These are needed for everyone, and they will help your career no matter if you're an individual contributor or a people manager. But if you're a people manager, then your mindset will need to really shift and really focus on these skills and utilize them day to day. And if that's where, you know, if that's where you get your energy from, using these skills, if that's what you enjoy, because that's the other thing as well, that's what you want to spend most of your time on, then it's for you. If you want to be more just a specialist, then that can be a very different thing. And there are other ways in between as well. So I, for example, really enjoy the critical thinking side of things, things like emotional intelligence. And I've kind of carved out a way to be an individual contributor, but be a consultant, be an independent consultant, where you can bring these two together and kind of mix and match. So there are opportunities for everything. And I mean, you know, 5-6 years ago, the jobs that we have today didn't exist. And even SEO, you know, have existed now, I don't know, 30 years or something, maybe. But we don't really know what the jobs of the future will be. So obviously, it's always good to have a direction to say, this is where I want to grow into. But I think it's much better to focus on the tasks that you enjoy, the skills that you enjoy, rather than, you know, have this very specific title in mind, because they are changing and there are new titles all the time. And you can absolutely be creative and think outside the box and create roles for yourself at different companies as well, if that's what you would want to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's also like, I think like for us, or at least for me in the beginning, like the perception of a career was, okay, you start as an exec manager, you become a team lead, you become a head of, you become a director, and so on and so forth. That's how, you know, that's how my, you know, parents or my grandparents, like that's how they define a career, right? So you have to have power. You have to have, like, you know, control about a lot of people, and you have to rule the game. So that's the career. But you're completely right. I mean, if you really want to build something specific, you know, by the way, a lot of discussion that I had, you know, in my previous company, with people that were, you know, so we were in the middle of a transformation, right? A lot of people were kind of pissed because we changed the way how they used to work before, on what they used to work before, and so on and so forth. And from I didn't get it, right? Because as a product manager, as a developer, you always want to work on cool stuff, right? And so we completely, you know, rebuild the front end. We completely, detached the back office and wanted to build a headless CMS and so on and so forth. And, you know, their argument was still, yeah, but, you know, the way how it's doing, and, you know, we have built all of this for 10 years and now we need to do some. And my argument was always, but, you know, just look at your career, right? If you have that in your CV that you, you know, build a new front end in React on a really modern new environment. You introduce a CMS. And so that's what other companies also will do. And that's kind of the way how you should look at your career. If you have that in your CV, then doors are open for other opportunities as well, right? And I think this is also kind of a mindset to see what am I really doing at my job that brings me one level higher on my mindset and also on the experience that I collect building something very special in that case now, right? Also, from an SEO perspective, if you work for a very small brand where it's about, scaling the business, okay. But if you have done that, that's your experience, right? But going on to the next level, building something for an enterprise, for example, or maintaining or, optimizing something from enterprise, that's a whole different level. And I think that's how you should look at your career, independent from any kind of title.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very interesting thing you brought that up, and sort of there is something new introduced and people's reaction to change and uncertainty and it really, really all just comes back to this one thing that I keep talking about, that the most important skill is emotional intelligence. And I think a lot of times there is a sort of outdated definition of what emotional intelligence is, and that's because the science doesn't even agree on what emotions are. And there is an amazing book by Lisa Feldman-Barrett, who's a top neuroscientist who has a lab researching emotions, literally. But essentially, the point is that emotional intelligence and the way how we construct emotions and the way how we feel about things and feeling certain things is different from emotions as well, will really impact how we approach anything. So our mindset. So things like uncertainty. Uncertainty is one of the most metabolically taxing thing to our brain. Like it's just incredibly exhausting and draining. And it doesn't mean that we don't always embrace uncertainty, because sometimes when we are excited about it, we want to do that, right? But it always comes back to how do we feel about something. So if that team of developers were feeling excited about something else they thought that's going to happen and what they're going to learn, then they already had that in mind, and something like this could be way more scary, way more risky. What if my skills are not suited to that, and then that just means that I will lose my job, or I will have to retrain and I will lose all of these skills that I've gained in the past. So there is just so much associated with that really comes back to really understanding ourselves, like just in general, like again, what motivates us when we need to shift mindset, like how does that happen for us? How do we react? How can we, what are our ways to not just cope with it, but actually embrace it. So there are so many different careers out there. And I think the other aspect to this as well is when we start our first jobs, we want to grow really quickly. Like everyone is like, starts as an intern or an exec or something. And then they have, this idea of like, right, in 5 years, I want to be here. And there is like, unfortunately, so we have to work, most of our life. Like there is such a long career path ahead of you. Like you don't actually have to get to this like manager or director in 5 years. Like, do you actually want to be a director for 30 years of your life and have that responsibility and all of that? Like, you want the money, of course, and you want to have the comfort of like, then buying a house. There are other things associated with that, but it's not necessarily that the title you want. And I think that's very important, because people sometimes chase something like a big brand. Like, I want to work for a big brand because that will escalate my progress and it will really help me get other jobs. But I think once you sort of get into this, you have 5 to 10 years experience behind you, that's when you start to realize, right, okay, so now I've learned so much. Like I've had, because you will have, within 5-10 years, it's completely reasonable to be able to work for a big brand. For some people, it happens sooner. For some people, it happens later. But if you want to, you will likely have that opportunity if you have those connections, if you focus on, building meaningful relationships with people. It's actually, it can come really naturally that would happen for anyone within their career. And like sometimes we try to rush a lot of these things, but it's actually not that crucial, because if you start to work for big brands. Like, I mean, I would say I did that, but actually I had many other careers before that. I started for a big brand in SEO, but I actually learned a lot of things later, just in terms of like how you work at like a startup, for example, or how you work with different types of teams when there are less people and you have to look after so many things, because at that big brand everything was in silos. So I learned very different skills, and it's just that you will have to learn it all anyway in the long run, basically. And I don't think we always have to rush these things, because we just want them because that's like there is a different goal in mind. There is a goal in mind that, you know, we just want to get to this higher title for security and or power or whatever motivation you have behind that.
Yeah, and you know, for me, for example, I mean, I'm like this typical, you know, I'm just like this typical guy, right? So I made a career in SEO, and I have like, you know, jumped from you know, one level to another, one level and stuff. But I didn't do it for the title per se, because whenever I look at an opportunity, I look at, okay, what do I learn new that I didn't do before? Right. So that's why if you look at my CV, for example, completely different industries. Right. So I started in lead generation. I moved over to e-commerce, classifieds and auction platforms. Then I moved over to working for Searchmetrics in a SaaS business and heading the professional service. Right. So I went into consulting. Then I made a transition into product management. And now I'm, you know, since then, I'm actually always working for brands where, you know, they wanted to bring SEO away from performance marketing and building actually a product, you know, pillar or domain into the product and engineering department. So always something new, always something that I didn't do before. And that's how I always look at it. If you can combine it with, you know, a nice title and a nice job, even better, but that's not, it's not per se the, you know, the goal, so to speak. I just want to, because I want to actually, at the end, I want to transition to public speaking, also brand building. But one question, maybe a short answer to it, because I think that's an interesting question. Like, do you think, like, yeah, but do you think that, you know, starting a career within an agency is better than within in-house?
Oh, I can't give you a short answer to that, but short answer, no, but I'm not saying it's true the other way around either. Like, there are so many different types of agencies as well out there. There are so many different types of companies where you can learn things. So I would say that's the wrong question to ask almost because I know people ask this question from themselves, like, should I go agency or in-house? Instead of asking that question, ask the question, what kind of manager do you want to work for? Because that's probably a much easier question to ask and answer, and go to the interviews asking that question. And asking, is this the type of manager I would like to work for? And I think that will take you a lot further ahead. I'm very lucky to have my first manager, first few managers at TUI actually were very incredible, and that just set me off on a very, very good path.
Yeah, it is also like, if I would answer this question, the answer would be the following, right? So, it's very good to work for an agency in the beginning, because what you learn is a lot of different industries, a lot of different kind of challenges and you know, states where business are currently situated. And so you learn that, and you learn to conceptualize, you learn to audit, you really learn the basics, so to speak, of SEO, really sophisticated research and stuff like that, presentation. It's so underrated, but one of the most important skill that you also have to have in-house is the way how you present things. The way how you take the essence out of a very complex topic and present it to a client so that they understand it. And, you know, breaking that apart in the way how you present it and stuff, that's one of the most underrated skills And if I look at colleagues in-house, right, they've never worked for an agency before, or most probably have never, you know, done, you know, a study where presentations were, you know, a skill that they had to learn, you immediately see that and you immediately feel that that's one of the most underrated skills. Whereas an in-house, what you learn is like really to, because you get one problem or one opportunity or one challenge that you need to fix, right, and you really learn to do a little thing that has a large impact to the business. And you're also much more into the strategy of the entire business. And you know, of course, all the different departments and you have like interconnections to them. That's different from the agency, I would say. So you learn in-house more kind of this political thing, like this cross collaboration. You learn to really fix one problem and have the time to fix a problem. Whereas on the agency, you work for a lot of different things. You can learn research and auditing and stuff like that. So, yeah, both has benefits.
Yeah, I think, and I think for sure, like that's true. What you said in, but I think that's true in theory more than in actual experience. And that also means, you know, if we look at it sort of statistically, if you put together a bunch of folks who worked agency and a bunch of folks who worked in house, and you compare this, then that is exactly the theory you are going to get. But when it comes to someone's actual practical experience, the manager part is more important, because you can, like, I have friends who worked at an agency and have never got to explore, like, have never learned as much about the different industries because they weren't allowed to do certain things. So they actually couldn't learn some of those ins and outs of things because that's just not how the agency worked with those clients. Or it was their job became a lot more repetitive in terms of just putting together reports, and then not necessarily sort of knowing how to progress from there because they weren't given the opportunity. So you could totally work at an agency and still just not get the experience that you really need. And then you could also work in-house and really branch out to different teams, build connections with them, and therefore learn so much about how other teams function, which is a really transferable skill. So yes, I worked e-commerce to start with for two brands. And then I worked for SEO tools. So that's kind of like, I never actually worked for an agency, but SEO tools are somewhat similar because again, you have that variety of clients, right? And I had no issues starting to work with a bunch of different clients because the understanding of, you know, different strategies work for different part of the business or for different goals was still the same. And I had, by the time, I would say good critical thinking, good listening skills in terms of matching needs and matching a strategy, matching sort of what type of, what areas of SEO do we need to focus on there. And again, I still got exposed to international SEO, local SEO, and you know, a variety of technical SEO challenges and content. But you can get that variety from just one industry and one company as well. And I think it really does matter, first of all, how proactive you are in sort of engaging with different teams as well. But that manager part is crucial. So I'm not disagreeing with what most people say. And I do think there is truth in it. If, you know, if you need to look for that, I want the breadth of knowledge, first of all, agency might be better suited, but working for the right manager who will support that development and who will allow you to sort of be proactive in that learning is much more important than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. Last question, because you, I said it in the beginning, I mean, you're an international speaker, you spoke at MozCon, at Brighton SEO, at Searchlove, you published articles on Wix, you did a lot for Budify as well, and so on and so forth. So how important, or like, no, let's frame it different. Like, how helpful was it for your career to build that, you know, personal brand for yourself?
Definitely helpful for my career. I mean, I think anyone who sort of worked on their personal branding and, you know, and built meaningful connections on the way would say that it is a helpful thing. That said, I went into this career wanting to speak at conferences. So that was definitely a goal of mine. And the way how I like to say this, like personal branding is incredibly helpful, because just think about it this way. We talked about interviews already. Like you can, let's say you already know what you want. You can apply for a bunch of roles and then go through the interviews and then ask at the end of the interview your questions and then start to sort of filter down that way, which job do you want to get? Or you can, you know, do sort of pre-screening and set filters when you're looking for jobs and ask the hiring manager on the phone about questions and not even go to the interviews that don't align with the things that you want. And personal branding is really something like that, in terms of like the more authentic it is to you and the more you figure out what you want and that's what you put out about yourself, that's the more likely you're attracting the opportunities that you actually want to go after, because you're just doing it publicly. You're putting it already out there in terms of, you know, what your skills are, what you're talented in, what types of things you want to do. So it helps you connect with the type of people you want to be connected to, but it's certainly not the only way. And I think we are in a bit in an age where, or a bit in an era where people are being told they have to focus on their personal branding more. And a lot of people just, that's not what they want to do. They might not want to have a public profile. They might not want to do public speaking. And that's completely okay. Like, we don't all have to do this. What I would say is that the most important part, and the important part why personal branding works, in my opinion at least, is because you have the chance to build meaningful connections. So you just need to find your way how you can connect with the people you work with, because at the end of the day, it's the whole career growth, everything, it's all about people. And whether that's you going to conferences or you having a work bestie and coffee chats and building those relationships internally, you need to find your own way. You should still try to, you know, get out of your comfort zone, and maybe you don't have to try public speaking at a conference, but take something you're very excited about, the project, and try to present it to a small team within the business to see how it feels, to see if you can connect to people. Because obviously, if we do things, these are the things that will help us find the people who are like-minded, find the people who can help us on the way as well, and who we can help on the way as well. So there are ways, and it's good to try things, but if someone doesn't want to be a conference speaker or doesn't want to write articles, that's not the only way to do it, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But I have to say, it also helped me a lot, because there, like, I went in so many situations where people say, Björn, I Googled you, right? And that's exactly the thing. So you apply as being an expert, and people looking for proof that you are an expert, right? So either they look at the CV, so big corporations, okay, they just scan the CV and that's it, right? But in smaller startups, or if you join an agency, or you are an independent consultant, people do Google you and seek for that proof of your expertise. And of course, like, if you have like a profile, you appear in a lot of videos, there's articles that you have written, podcasts, you know, conference talks and stuff like that ultimately gives you kind of the proof and the quality badge. Okay, she is an expert or he is an expert. So it definitely helps if you especially want to work, if you work as a freelancer, for sure, that's no matter. But if you also want to work for bigger brands, that's my perspective. You want to work for bigger brands and you want to work for good brands and stuff, make sure that you have an profile on the internet that proves that you're an expert, and then I think you have way different discussions. That at least helped me a lot, for sure.
For sure. And I think, again, it comes back to what is it that you want to achieve from your career? What is it that you want to do? So, as you said, if you're a consultant, you want to work with different brands, for sure it helps. But if you found a company you really enjoy working for and you want to progress within that company, then building your profile, like, again, just presenting to those teams, building out the connections within the business is going to be way more beneficial than going out there and building those connections, you know, externally. Not to say that one or like they're not mutually exclusive, right? You can do the two together at the same time. But it's another thing where some people find, you know, conferences draining. like from an, or like doing a lot of podcasts or something. Some people really love it and find it, that it energizes them, and some people find it really exhausting. Now, if you do a lot of these things and you find them exhausting, it means you won't have energy left to sort of do things that could be meaningful to you in the future. So you do have to find the right balance. And again, it's not to say don't try out things, but when you try something new out, see if that's something you want to continue doing, or what were the aspects of it that you really liked? What were the aspects that didn't work for you? Personal branding is more than just speaking at conferences and the public profile. Like, you can do that within, as I said, within the company as well, which is a much sort of, could be a much smaller scale, could be a lot less public, and again, it's more about also understanding like who you are and what your niche is. We love that word. So like, in terms of like, who are you authentically, and what are the qualities that you want to promote about yourself? Because those are the things you want to find in the future. Those are the types of opportunities you want to get in the future as well. And I think that's probably the most important aspect of it.
Petra, thanks for the inspiring talk. I really enjoyed it. I could like talk to you two more hours, but we have to make a cut. Thanks for jumping on the podcast, and thank you for tuning in. We see and hear us again next week on Yes, You Press a podcast. Ciao.
Thank you so much for having me.